Thank
Do.
you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Shari. I'm a compulsive overeater. Just to qualify, I came into program in August of 96, and I've been abstinent since July of 2005. And before, just a little bit of what it was like before I came in. I was 25 when I came in. And before that time, I started using food at a very young age to, as a comfort, as a friend. I grew up in a pretty hostile home. My parents fought constantly, and my mom was emotionally neglectful and abusive, and at a pretty young age was trying to control my food and telling me, you know, if I needed to eat less of fill in the blank, because if I get heavy, I'll never get married. Like, she told me that in the second grade. So I remember feeling like I was a really heavy child, but when I look at pictures, I don't look real heavy to me. It just, I remember being teased in school. I remember being shamed when I couldn't climb the ropes in school by the PE teacher. And just, you know, just a lot of shame and a lot of feelings that I didn't know what to do with. So I ate them. I ate those feelings. I ate a lot of food. And so as I moved into high school and started dieting more in earnest, I would do things like get the calorie counter and eat 500 calories a day. But it wasn't really 500 calories a day. It's just what I wrote down didn't exceed 500, but I ate way more than that. I just didn't write it down, and therefore it didn't count. So lots of delusional thinking. Where I was probably eating 4 or 5,000 calories a day and couldn't understand why I wasn't losing weight. When, you know, anyway, it was just thinking back to those times of how disconnected I was from reality is somewhat alarming. And grateful to have found this program to get my feet on the ground. I love the saying, make sure your feet and your head are in the same place. So it's just a good way to stay grounded. So the other things that I did was I could, like I said, I couldn't stop eating. I would do the crazy thinking in the head of, I will eat just one more of these and then put the rest away. And then I would have that, and like within seconds the thinking would start again. I will have one more of these until I can, and then I'll put it away until the entire box, bucket, or bag is gone. I just ate everything. When I went grocery shopping as a young adult, I could not go through the grocery line without the gravitational pull to buy something sweet. I think you all know what I'm talking about. I can't say specific things, but I just could not keep myself, all the willpower in the world. You know, it was just the strong gravitational pull to buy one of those things and devour it in the car as if it was like the last thing on earth to eat. And then beat myself up for it. Like, why did I do that again? And so it was just this ongoing demoralization where I couldn't stop eating, but I didn't know what to do about it. And I thought I was the only one with this problem. I thought it was an issue of willpower, of thinking my way into it, of controlling my own behavior, which, you know, I learned in program is not the case. It's a disease of the mind and, an allergy of the body, as it says in the book, big book. So I was my largest weight in 96 before I came into the rooms. I was eating probably a pint of something every night. Got a couple of movies. You know, back in the day, no streaming was there in the 1990s, folks. I was picking up a couple of movies and a lot of food and would eat it all. And to me, that was self-care. You know, after a long, hard day, that was self-care. So my body got to the point, and I don't know what my top weight was because I stopped weighing myself, but I couldn't comfortably go up and down a flight of stairs. I'm sorry about the phone ringing. It's my landline. I can't control it. I couldn't go up and down a flight of stairs. I couldn't comfortably get in and out of my car. I mean, just my sheer size. I only wore things that had a very stretchy waist. I was just extremely uncomfortable in my body, and it was hard to move. And a friend of mine said, and this is when I lived in Boulder, Colorado, and a friend of mine said, well, you know, they have something for people who can't stop. drinking, they probably have something for people that have a problem with food. And I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. But I was desperate. So this was also before the internet. So I called the local hospital, and thankfully that person knew about OA because they had a meeting there. And so he said, "You mean Overeaters Anonymous?" And he gave me a phone number to call. And that outgoing message listed all the different meetings and the places and the times. And at the end of the recording said, "Welcome home." And I really felt that. Like I was like, oh, there was like this shift. So I went to my first meeting, and I had never been in a 12-step meeting before. I wasn't familiar with the format, couldn't figure out why people weren't responding to the person talking. That is very strange. But they had what I wanted. There was like a serenity in the room. And people talked about things that I did with food, throwing food away and taking out of the garbage can and eating it anyway, driving to multiple stores to get particular foods. I couldn't believe that there were other people that did the crazy stuff with food that I did. And so I stayed and I found a sponsor and I started working the steps. And I initially lost a lot of weight. I started exercising, which I had never set foot in, seriously set foot inside a gym. And but after a while, when I wasn't losing weight fast enough and I was getting frustrated with not eating particular things at all, I started eating them again. I kept going to the meetings, but I rapidly gained weight and my personality changed. Which I had met my husband about 6 months after being in program. So he noticed the sharp change in my personality when I picked up the food. And it was really hard to get back into abstinence. Now that I knew it was like food was not my friend and it was no longer self-care, it was much harder. So I came back, I worked the steps again, I worked with a different sponsor. We moved to Portland, Oregon. And then I had another relapse, just more of a, just like between work and being a new mom and all these pressures, I could not figure out how to make what I was doing program enough. Like I knew the pressure valve needed to be released and I couldn't get it. I couldn't access it in program. So I ate. And then in July of 20, 2005, I had been calling my sponsor because I was working in an office and I could not stop going to the vending machine every day, multiple times a day. And she's like, "This could be the last time you did it." And so it was. And for reasons I can't explain, it just lifted. And since that time, I found working steps 1, 2, and 3 at a deeper level made the difference of why my abstinence is now long term. The first cup, few times I worked through the steps, it was like, yeah, I will listen to a higher power. I will do those things. And then I kept on going through the steps. And I think I was mostly just giving it lip service. I really didn't trust a higher power. I really wasn't willing to turn my life and my will over, because I still had the God of my understanding that I grew up with, who was really mean. Like, I'm not trusting that God. So I had to divorce myself from that God of my understanding and create a new image, a higher power that is much more in alignment, for lack of a better understanding. I usually say it's more like Star Wars, the Force. It's not this big, being man in a white flowing robe and everything. It's not a being at all. It's more of a collective unconsciousness. And I also don't think higher power has a plan for me or for anybody else. Because if I believed that, I wouldn't be able to believe with everything happening in the world and has happened previously, I would have a really hard time if there was like a intentional planning thing that the higher power was doing. Instead, I believe higher power can see everything and nudge people who will listen in a particular direction. And when people continue to act in self-will and selfish ways, we have chaos. So I think that that allows me to turn my will and my life over to a power greater than myself, when I know it's just literally a be a an entity or a an unconsciousness that is trying to connect everybody to a greater good. And when self-will creeps in, that's when that connection gets severed. So that really helped me. That new understanding really helped me move forward and maintain long-term abstinence. My food plan, I'll talk a little bit about that, is changed over the years. You know, I'm now 55, so it's different than when I was 25. And it's more of a guideline. I went through a phase of trying to commit my food ahead of time. That was just really triggering. So it's a guideline. You know, it's very clear. My heroin are desserts. I cannot eat desserts in any way, shape, or form. I cannot eat a sugar-free dessert. If it looks like a dessert and it smells like a dessert, it's a dessert. So I don't eat it. It's like poison for me. And so it took many years of building that muscle of being at lots of kid birthday parties that I no longer felt that gravitational pull. And I felt my whole being at every level calm down and plug into serenity. I do find I have to continue all the things in program, or it's that sneaky little disease will start talking and make waves. And it doesn't start with go eat blah, blah, blah. It's more starts with, I think that person's wrong. You should try to control that situation. So it very much starts with my behavior, not eating extra food. It's when my behavior starts to get a little wackadoo that I have to really check myself of like, am I looking for my part in this given situation, or am I trying to control an outcome? Which one is it? I'll just a brief example around that is my daughter. This was a few years ago when she was a freshman in college. She wanted to go to Miami with a group of friends over winter break. And she's over 18, right? So my initial reaction was, hell no, you are not going. I had all this fear kick in immediately, a group of girls driving to Miami. No, no. And then my son, who's younger, overheard this conversation. And when I hung up, he's like, well, why can't she go? I mean, I felt like higher power was like, okay, let's push into what is your fear? Why are you trying to control what she's doing? And I very quickly called her back. I said I was sorry, and I explained I was scared of her going there and what might happen. But if she wants to go, yeah, go. I'm not paying for it, but yeah, go. And so she went, and it was fine. And this was, like I said, a couple years ago. But that was a very clear, like, when I was in self-will versus higher power will. When I really checked in with my higher power, this is what I'm afraid of. Is there really anything I should be afraid of here? And higher power is like, no, that's all disease. You're afraid. That's fine. But you can be afraid, but you should let her go. And so it's being able, putting the food down and being able to have that clarity is what comes with being abstinent. Like if I were in a food fog, I don't think I would have been able to connect that quickly and heard that message. Where am I at? Okay, I see where I'm at for time. One thing I really want to talk about today that isn't typically on my list, but when you asked me to speak, I'm like, oh, I should talk about this, are resentments. I thankfully have been free from that intense, rageful, kind of resentful feeling for a long time. I'm not saying I don't get mad. I 100% get mad. I do tense steps. I do get resentments. But I had the first time I worked through the fourth step, the resentment, the inventory with my mom was extensive, folks. I mean, there are lots of writing. And I have found over the years, a lot of the same things would just keep coming up regarding my mom until one day, for reasons I cannot explain, it lifted. Now, have I forgiven my mom? No, but I can be around her. I can be, it's more of an obligatory relationship from my end. I don't feel that like, oh, she's my mom and nurturing kind of lovey-dovey feeling the way I feel like my kids feel about me. It's okay now. It's cordial, but it's not, I don't have that deep, deep resentment for the childhood things that happened to my childhood anymore. And more recently, I've had issues with my sister-in-law for a range of reasons. And that resentment had been going on for about a decade. And for reasons I can't explain, I just continue to talk about it and write about it. It lifted. Am I still annoyed with her when there's interactions? Yes, I am. She's an active compulsive overeater. So when she's in our house, she needs to go to XYZ and get a particular food, like, you know, because she's an addict. So I try to have compassion and I pray for compassion. I tend to still be annoyed. And, but it's not like the deep, deep rage that I used to feel. And so that's one of the gifts, one of the many gifts I feel of program, is that I have a very specific and structured way to work through and manage feelings of all kinds. The other thing I'll say about feelings is that they completely bulldozed me when I first came into program and started feeling feelings. But now I can feel like deep, authentic joy, deep, authentic sadness, like all of the range of feelings in a way that simply wasn't possible when I was in the food all the time. I used program to raise my kids, so they already use the tools, even though they're not in the rooms, and I'm extremely happy for them that they don't have to go through a lot of the workings of things that I've gone through. I've been married for about 26 years. It's still up and down. I'm not saying it's like I'm not skipping down the yellow brick road, right? But I've been married. I figured out I use program to work through hard things. I hold my tongue a lot in general when I'm in a difficult situation because I quickly will go through a Rolodex of things I can say. And generally, right away, I'm like, I can't, nope, I can't call them that. Nope, I can't say that. And I'm very motivated by if I say that, I will owe an amends later. Like, what do I need to say in this situation? Even when someone's being not nice to me, like, what can I say in a situation? What's a kind way to respond? And sometimes it means not responding at all. I had probably the I've been in business for 20 years, and I had the most hostile co phone call from the HR department of a client that I've ever received in my entire career. And she was so like, what is this invoice and what do you do? And I'm canceling this contract. I'm like thinking, who the fuck are you? And I couldn't say any of that. I couldn't say, who the fuck are you? I just kept repeating, I think you should talk to Julia, who is my client. And it resolved. But I was definitely like, I had to make a program call after that. And said all the things I wanted to say to that person, but didn't because I would have owed an amends. So I'm gonna just wind down by just reading some of my favorite sayings, or not favorite, just sayings. I eat to be sane. I don't eat to be try to be thin and control my weight. What I really don't like this next saying, but it's an important one. My body is not my business. My food plan is, I started talking about it, I think I didn't finish. Essentially, three meals a day that have a beginning and an ending. Sometimes I split a meal if I'm going to be going to the gym or if there's an event happening during a time that I would normally eat. So it's flexible, but I don't eat desserts. I eat vegetables and fruits, which I really didn't before program. And so if my food plan is in alignment with my higher power, my body's just not my business. And so, what is the next right thing I can do? It feels like very much in alignment with step three. How can I be useful? Take PP moments, which are pause and pray. Lots of PP moments. Do not listen to the itty bitty shitty committee in my head, because that will roll through and I'll be like, yeah, no, thanks for talking, but sit down. And I came for the weight loss and I found serenity. Feelings are not facts, they're just feelings. They pass. The path to recovery is paved with self-care. And I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. Are my feet and my head in the same place? It has staying present. Like, are my feet, because I could just whoop, like my brain will be off into completely somewhere else. And then I'll be over here with my body and I'll be like, oh my gosh, where did I put my keys? Just are my feet and my head in the same place? And if it's not happening today, it's not happening. There's a lot of fear right now, I think globally. And I'm like, if it's not happening today, it's not happening. What can I do in this situation that isn't controlling or manipulative? Like, what is the next right thing to do? And that's all I've got. Thanks.